Good morning. You can tell immediately I'm praying that my voice will last through the morning. I don't know what's going on. I've had illness for the last several months. In fact, at our church, we've just had so much illness up in northern Michigan. It's unbelievable. And the Lord knows best, but I wouldn't choose this because this is a topic that I am passionate about. And if you folks here are from small town rural ministries, we got a lot in common. And I understand you. I understand where you're coming from. I understand what you're dealing with. I started off ministry in big city churches. I was part of a big church down in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, the capital city of Louisiana. Big church, big ministry, big Christian school. From there, I went to the Chicago suburbs. And again, big Christian school, big ministry. And then the Lord called me. I was in Christian school work primarily. Then the Lord called me into the pastorate. And then I heard from Mayo, Michigan. Mayo, can you believe Mayo? So I went to a map to find it. And it wasn't on the map. I had to go find a more detailed map. And there it is. Mayo is in the northeast corner of the lower peninsula of Michigan. It is a town of less than 2,000 people and is declining. And I went there a little over 25 years ago. And may I make a confession? I went there thinking, and this, I don't like to admit this, but I went there thinking that this is the minor leagues. I was that arrogant and that ignorant. This is the minor leagues. I'm going to put my time in the minor leagues, and I'm going to get the call to the major leagues, and then I'll be on my way. 25 years later, I am still there. 25 years later, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Amen. The Lord has blessed. I love it there. I love the people there. It's quite, Brother Monty's been there. The Lord has done some amazing things in that little community. And I began having a burden a number of years ago when I realized the Lord was going to leave me there. I thought, well, okay, then I want to be the best small town rural pastor I can be. And I said, I need some resources because I'd been in big city ministries and I knew this was different. A lot of people, Brother Monty, think that a small town church is a smaller version of a big city church. It's not. Yeah, that's right. You've had that experience. You've been in, you know, Hicksville, North Carolina or something like that. You know, and so, yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. So I started looking for resources. Well, you could go to conferences, and conferences are great. Most conferences are in big cities with big ministries, and there's a lot to be learned. In fact, my first session with Brother Kagan, I think I'm pronouncing his name right, was worth the trip down here. I sat in on his session. Just want to be an encouragement to you. That was worth the trip down here. So there's lots to be learned. But there was one time I went out to Paul Chappell's church, and his choir comes out. Bigger than my town. And I turned to my pastor friend next to me. You know, we're in this huge auditorium. And I told him, I said, I quit. I quit. You know, it ain't going to happen in Mayo. But I was looking for resources, and I wasn't finding them. There are a few books out there on small town and rural ministry, most of them written by Lutherans and Methodists. You know, and not to say that they're of no value, but they're not of our stripe. So a number of years ago, I thought, well, we'll just have our own conference up here in Mayo. And we started what we called the Highways and Hedges Conference. And we began teaching what we learned. And I studied small town ministry. And I'm happy to share with you today what I put together for those conferences in hope of being a blessing and an encouragement, because I speak your language and I know what you deal with. And I think some of the greatest ministry going on today is going on by small town pastors in rural areas. And I think oftentimes they are the model to be copied more than sometimes some of the bigger ministries, not to put down on them, not at all. But anyway, I want to be a help and a blessing to you. If you have a question or a comment at any time, you let me know, and hopefully my voice will hold up. And in the three sessions, I'm going to do some of the materials a little bit overlapping. They were prepared for different conferences at different times, so there's a little bit of overlapping material, but we'll try to compensate for that. So let me have a word of prayer. And
Pastor McMorris, I know you won't toot your own horn, but I've been to the Highway to Kansas Conference, and let me just tell you, gentlemen, big church or small church, you will get a blessing out of that. And one of the most striking things was meeting so many pastors who pastor in places that I've never heard of in my life. And I would ask them, well, how long have you been at the church? Oh, 20 years, 30 years. I think one man over 40 years. Loving every moment of his ministry there. So if you get an opportunity, well, why don't you just do this, make an opportunity to go to that conference in my life.
Yes, sir.
Is that annually?
Well, here's the thing. We haven't had it the last 2 years. We had it like 10 years in a row, and for whatever reason, I just didn't feel led. To be honest, I was wondering whether it mattered. And we had good attendance by pastors we had very good attendance by pastors, but I wasn't sure that it was really making a difference. And so we didn't have it last year, and we didn't have it this year, but I'm inclined to crank it back up again because I'm hearing from preachers who are saying, you know, you're not going to have it. What do you mean? So maybe I was underestimating the value of it, because I'm like, I don't need something else to do, you know, to put on a conference. I'm not looking to make a name or anything, but if it would be of value to guys, then yeah, we will do it. We've had it in April, and it'll be on our church website. I'm really inclined to think maybe we'll crank it up again next year. Let me have a word of prayer and we'll get started. Dear Lord, thank you for our time together this morning. Lord, I pray that what I say today would be a help and encouragement to these small-town rural pastors. Bless our time together, Lord. And I pray, Lord, help my voice to stand up for this session and the following two. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 19 through 23, I want to share with you a biblical basis for what I'm about to talk about here. Beginning in verse number 19, the Apostle Paul says, "For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. So to the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some, and this I do for the gospel's sake." What we see here, I think, is not Paul stressing compromise or accommodation, but he is teaching a sensitivity to those you are trying to reach. That is certainly true in the missionary world. You've got to distinguish between how you would approach people in Japan as opposed to, you know, South Africa. And that's what I'm all about when it comes to emphasizing small town ministry. Just being culturally sensitive, because they are two different worlds. The rural church really is not a smaller version of a large city church. It's really a different animal. Let's look at our outline here. We'll get started this morning. And again, this isn't gospel, my 10 points here. A lot of this is just my opinion, my experience. I think I can stand behind everything that is being said here. And I think these are things that are important to understand. Number one, urban churches operate more with a business model, while rural churches operate more with a family model. Urban churches operate more with a business model, while rural churches operate more with a family model. That's important to understand. My son was on staff with Paul Chapel, and Paul Chapel, he told me one day, Paul Chapel just got up and announced to the congregation, go out and see our new 54-passenger tour bus, you know, and folks were excited about that. Now, in Mayo, if I want to change the size of the dumpster, we need to have a business meeting and talk about it. You know, do I hear some amens? You know, and again, I'm not saying that what Brother Chapel is doing, but it's a different mindset. That's corporate America. They're used to top down, this is the way it is. You know, but in small town America, we've had a 4-yard dumpster for 20 years, Pastor. Why do we need to go to a 6-yard dumpster? You know, what's that all about? It's family and it's personal. And I tell people all the time, if you graduate from a college, and that's the kind of model that you have seen for years, and you go into a small town, and you try to replicate that in a small town, you're in a world of hurt, my friend. You're not going to last very long. Now, I believe in pastoral leadership, you know, but I believe in smart pastoral leadership. No, you know, I believe in that. I don't think you go to a small town and you throw away the Bible. I believe the Bible, but you've got to be smart. So again, urban churches operate more with a business model, whereas small town churches, it's more of a family model. Number two, urban churches value academic accomplishments and the administrative skills of the pastor, while rural churches value sincerity and relational skills. When I went to Mayo, they did not ever ask, even if I was Bible trained, you know, on what degrees I had. In a lot of your bigger urban churches, that's very important. That needs to be on your resume. And again, that doesn't mean that one is necessarily, in my opinion, doesn't mean that one is necessarily right or one is necessarily wrong. You know, if urban churches value the academic accomplishments and training and the letters behind the name, that's all well and good. But it's a different culture in small town America. I mean, they value sincerity. They value relational skills. I mean, we've got one grocery store in our town. And, you know, our town is very relational, very family. I tell people, I go into the grocery store and I run into so many of our people. I tell people we could have choir practice in the frozen food section sometime because, you know, you're just seeing each other. When I was in the big city churches, I never saw them. I didn't even know where they lived. When I was in Chicago, I never saw those people during the course of the week. Never even knew where they lived. So, you know, you have to have that understanding, and you need to appreciate the differences. Number three, urban churches are more future-oriented and goal-oriented, while rural churches tend to reflect on the past and tend to be survival-oriented. A lot of these rural churches are just trying to survive. Look, up in Michigan, in our county, the population of our county was 9,000. It's probably about 8,500, maybe less than that now. Our demographics are all going in the wrong direction. You know, and you have to understand that, then it becomes, in a lot of these small town churches, a survival mode. Just trying to make it. Whereas big city churches, you have, you know, in urban areas, you see growth and people moving into the area and they're planning for the future. So often in a small town, they're thinking about the good old days of the past and just trying to hang on. And it's just important to understand that. Urban churches look to the pastor for leadership, while rural churches most often look to each other. And we'll cover this in more detail later, but so often in a small town church, you know, just as important as what the pastor says is what Mr. Henry says. Because Mr. Henry's been here 40 years. And by the way, Mr. Henry with his own hands built that pulpit that you're preaching behind. You know, and it's just the way it is. You know, that Mr. Henry, what Mr. Henry says is important. And they're looking, yes, to the pastor for leadership, but oftentimes, you know, we'll cover this in other places. You typically have a high rate of turnover in small towns, small town pastors. And that was the case before I came. I've been there 25 years. And Brother Monty's right. I don't know what it is about Northern Michigan. It's not unusual to find guys that have been there 25, 30, 40 years. I kind of call it the black hole of ministry up there. When you get in there, you're there for life. But that's not typically the case. In a lot of small town ministries, they're changing pastors every 2 or 3 years. That was the case before I came to Mayo. Every 3 years. But Mr. Henry's been there through all those years. They more often look to Mr. Henry than they do to the pastor, because he's been the stability of that church. He has kept that church alive. I shared that with a young pastor one time at our conference. And he said, Pastor, he says, I just thought he was a troublemaker. I just thought he was an arrogant, you know, old man. And sometimes you will run into troublemakers and arrogant old men. He says, I understand him better now, and that's why the people look to him right now more than they do to me, because he was here before I got here, and they're thinking he'll be here after I'm gone. And you just have to understand that. You don't have to be mad at Mr. Henry. You need to be grateful for Mr. Henry and win him over and love him and get him on board. Number five, urban churches make programs a top priority, while rural churches make peace a top priority. A rural church is usually a smaller body of believers, and they interact with each other all the time. You run into them at the grocery store, you run into them at the feed store. And, you know, peace and harmony in a rural church is very important, oftentimes more so than the programs. And anything that comes in that's going to make, look, in the city church I was at in Chicago, if Henry Larimore, fictitious name, gets upset, he's one person among 800. And people don't see him during the week, they don't even know where he lives, they don't even know who he is. But in a church of 50, that same Henry Larimore, if he is upset, well, when he runs into you at the feed store or at the grocery store or at the Ace Hardware, you know, he's got time to talk. Or at the restaurant where all the guys gather, in our town at the Paddle Inn, same guys gather there every day of the week. They got their table. And it's just understanding that. You know, that it's family, it's smaller, it's more unified. Yes.
Do you go to that sometimes where those guys hang out?
Every Saturday morning. Every Saturday morning. Yes. It sounds like been there, done that.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Number six, urban churches operate in a culture of anonymity and isolation, while rural churches operate in a culture of intimacy and familiarity. Again, comparing it to Chicago, we lived for 3 years in Chicago in the suburbs and never got to know the neighbors on either side of me. I mean, right next door. You just say hi to them. You know, maybe if they're coming in as you're going out, that was it. You know, it's more of isolation. But in a rural setting, you get to know people. You get to know them very well. So there's a culture of anonymity, and it's a culture of intimacy and familiarity. It's very important to understand that difference. How much time do we have? 12 minutes, okay. 10 till? Is that when we're done? Okay. Number seven, urban churches operate with a consumer mentality, while rural churches operate with an ownership mentality. Rural people, this is a good, they love their church. In many cases, that's the only church they've gone to all their lives. And when I went to Mayo, in the old building, we have since built a new building, but in the old building, you couldn't see the entrance. There were doors there, but someone had planted bushes there that had really gotten huge. And when you pull up in the parking lot, there was no obvious, well, where do you go in? The entrance was hidden by those bushes that someone had planted. It's not the city church where you have the landscaping crew come in and take care of it. You know, somebody planted, and I mentioned one day, and this was a good thing. I just mentioned one. I said, y'all know those bushes out there? I said, I didn't even know where to come in the first time I drove up here. And then I noticed the next Sunday they had vanished. Somebody just cut them down. They were gone. And it raised quite a stink. And the good news is I didn't do it and I didn't know who did it. But somebody made them disappear. Now in a small town church, that's a big deal. You made them disappear. We hire hitmen that do that. Number eight, urban churches operate with a larger margin of error, while rural churches can tolerate little or no error. You know what I'm talking about there. I mean, nobody likes to lose people, and it's a detriment to any church of any size to lose anybody. But in a small town church, it could threaten the life of the church. You know, and again, I'm just pointing out these differences that you have to deal with. I'm not saying one is right and one is wrong, but it's just understanding that and appreciating it. That I know pastors of small churches in Michigan that, financially speaking, humanly speaking, they live right on the edge. They're just right on the edge there, and you need to know that other rural preachers understand that and deal with that. Number nine, urban churches tend to operate in a relatively stable environment of pastoral longevity, while rural churches must contend with an unstable environment of frequent pastoral turnover. And like I said, that was the case at Mayo. They were changing pastors every 3 years. And you know what it results in? When you have frequency of turnover, it makes for very immature people in that congregation, spiritually speaking. Because you think about it, if a guy gets here and he's only 3 years, and that's what they averaged at Mayo before I came, in the first year you're learning everybody's name, and then in the second year maybe you've settled down and started teaching, but as you go into the third year, if you're going to be leaving, you're thinking about leaving. You know, you don't just decide one day to leave and the next week you're gone. No, that third year. So, again, you haven't planted the seed, watered the seed, nurtured the seed, and seen it grow over time. And when there's this frequent turnover rate of people in your church or of pastors, it really makes for immature people. When I came to Mayo, if I would have known before I got there what I learned afterwards, humanly speaking, I would have never gone there. They just had a big church split over the Christian school. And part of the problem with the Christian school was some of the teachers wanted longer smoking breaks at recess. Wow. The school principal wasn't even attending church. You know, it was a joke. It was an absolute, by my standards, it was an absolute joke. The church split, like right down the middle. And half the people left and they went to start a new church. And half those people that left were going back into the old church and taking anything that they had done. They were taking tables. They were taking chairs. I paid for these. They're going with us. I mean, now if that doesn't represent immaturity. The school closed. I was up there candidating. Okay. The school closed. They had like $300 left in the school account. So while I was there candidating, no, I think I was just preaching before I actually came to candidate. One of the deacons said, we're going to have a deacon's meeting after church and a little issue we got to deal with. And he said, if you'd like to stay and observe the business meeting, why I didn't see it, I don't know. But they had like $300 in the account. The week before they had an evangelist there. His vehicle had broken down. The deacons had met. They said, look, let's give the $300 to brother so-and-so. I forget his name. And they said, yeah, his car broke down while he was here. He's moved on, but we'll send it to him, and that'll help him. And so I thought, okay. So they have a business meeting, and someone makes that proposal. And I can tell you the name because he's deceased. Floyd Porter raises his hand and says, nobody sends me money when my car breaks down. And another one says, me too. They voted it down. I'm talking immaturity. That's what I walked into. The first 10 years, I quit every Sunday. I quit every Sunday.
So, Morris, was there ever in your experience, because of that frequent pastor changing, the almost anticipated expectancy by people who didn't like you that, oh, well, he'll be gone in a year or two?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How did you deal with that?
I just waited for them to die. And they all have. And you know what? Let me tell you this. I really did. I did quit every Sunday. Every Sunday. It was the hardest thing I'd ever gone through in my life. I am so glad I didn't.
Amen. Yes, amen.
It's a different church.
Yes, yes.
I think I have one of the sweetest, most generous group of people on the face of the earth. And we're in such a good time. We've been in a good stretch now for about 10 years. It's almost scary. I can't last forever. You know, devil's got to fight us. I love my church. I love my, and what I'm saying, you may be going through a tough time. Stick it out. And the grass is not greener on the other side. You know, you just got more problems in the bigger. Well, I don't know. I've never pastored a big city church. I just want to encourage small town preachers. Did I get to the last one? No, we're on number 10, right? Let me give you that before I wrap it up. Urban churches can obtain pastors trained in urban institutions with an urban perspective, while rural churches seldom find pastors trained with a unique rural perspective. What I'm saying is, if you understand rural culture, and you accept it, and you just take it for what it is, rural ministry can be absolutely fantastic. The theme of our conference, which we had, was encouraging and equipping small town pastors for dynamic church ministry. You can, by dynamic, Brother Monty, I mean just energized.
Yes,
and you can have an energized church of 50 people. Where there's life and there's love and there's, you know, and it can be the most exciting church in the world. And the demographics may only allow for 50 people.
Right.
You know, if you're in a county of 2,000, I don't think there's much chance you're ever going to run 5,000. No. So be happy about where you are. Yes, sir.
How much of this rural ministry that you saw was dependent upon the personality of the person? You know, some guys are just bombastic. They come in, they clean out.
Yeah, they're stupid.
Yeah.
They have that big city mindset, going to make a name for themselves. You know, that happens all the time.
That's also stupid in a big church.
Yeah, true. True. Yes, ma'am.
I have a question. I didn't know this was for pastors. I came in here for a time.
Well, that's all right.
I'm in the bus station, uh-huh. And we're in a small town and stuff like that, but I'm also going to start a military mom group, and by soon. Really down the line, our bus ministry is not doing good. How do we get that going? Do y'all have one at y'all church?
We do.
And how does it work for y'all?
It's booming right now. Well, booming by rural standards.
Okay.
You know, I mean, we're not bringing in 100. You got to be realistic, number one. You know. But you're in a small town, a bus ministry, for those kids can be the most exciting thing.
Yes.
You know, it's a small town. They don't have all this hockey rinks and stuff and whatever. The church can be the most exciting thing going on when it comes to kids and youth ministry. It's just a matter of the workers and the leaders being excited and being creative and loving those kids. I mean, genuinely, truly loving them.
Amen.
You know, it's a wonderful thing.
Amen. Your church is the biggest thing happening in my life.
The way the demographics are going, we're going to be the only thing happening in my... All righty, thank you.